You are listening to Menstrual Health Made Easy, your pathway to period power. Let's talk about the stress connection. Stress raises the levels of a hormone called cortisol. We have a baseline level of cortisol. We need some to get up in the morning. It's not always a bad thing. But in large quantities over a long period of time, cortisol is not good for us. In menstrual health terms, when cortisol is high, then reproductive hormones don't work as well. This means when you have high stress, it means high cortisol, you then have this menstruality moment waiting to happen. If your ovaries primarily are pumping out these essential to life hormones such as estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, but your stress levels are through the roof, your cortisol is circulating like crazy and stopping these sex hormones from doing their job. That is not good. Not only for your menstrual cycle signs and symptoms, but in health in general. Sex hormones are not just circulating around the ovaries and uterus, remember, they are going around the whole body, building and supporting and acting in the brain. So how do we reduce cortisol? We need to reduce stress. One of the easiest and cheapest ways to do that is to breathe, or anything that can help you breathe on a purpose and with a purpose. You could be sat there breathing. You could be stood there breathing while the kettle is boiling or while you're doing some meditation or some yoga. Increasing oxygen flow reduces cortisol, and basically then everything works better. Now, I know that it may sound a little bit far-fetched, and of course, if you're having a day of high blood flow and a menstrual moment of your own, and you know that if you are going to have to stand up and walk across the room and it feels like your insides are about to fall out, listening to me say, breathe and be still, probably sounds like I'm taking the mickey. However, by doing this regular breathing on purpose and with a purpose as a regular exercise over the course of time, maybe not this week, maybe next week, or maybe next month, by lowering your cortisol, your sex hormones work better the whole month. And your heavy bleeding, your PMS, and your other challenges have a much better chance of starting to repair themselves when your cortisol is low and your sex hormones can work well. It can almost feel like it's a bit like magic, but it's not. It's actually simple steps such as real food, reduce stress, and move. Movement is not optional. Some kind of movement every day is required. But just as the hormones change, your fitness routine can too. And there are some excellent resources, which I'll put a link to in the class notes, that explore this topic of movement and menstrual health. But in summary, you could look at the way you move according to the weeks. In the follicular phase, so weeks 1 and 2, the bleed week movement needs to be very customized to you, but in general, don't push too hard. Keep within your limits until week 2, when movement can become slightly more intense but short to minimize injury. Then in the luteal phase, so that's weeks 3 and 4, as you switch from week 2 to 3, you can then tap into fat burn. You can try longer sessions of exercise and perhaps keep up with the pace a little bit more. And as we reach kind of week 4 again, we're going to do some customization, and that will be depending on the kind of premenstrual phase you have. But keep moving, even if it's only a little. The stress, movement and menstrual connection is very, very strong and will be a key player in how you can optimize your windows of strength and smooth your windows of vulnerability. As you continue to build your menstrual mosaic, you'll be able to modify what you are doing and when. Now, however, none of this is a single solution or magic process. There may still be discomfort and distress. But right now, you are starting to build a very robust menstrual health toolkit to make the journey a whole lot easier.